Please pull up a seat and wind down. Was your sojourn on Rakenjima a pleasant one? The Golden Witch has invited you to a tea party. We hope you choose to attend.
The Oshiru Miya family have arrived at the Rakenjima mansion, and whilst the adults converse in the lounge, the cousins have made a strange discovery in the grand hall.
So, yeah, on the way to lunch, they see the portrait of Baobab.
Yes, we should talk about her. We haven't talked about her yet.
We have not, given that she's, you know, fairly important in this visual novel.
Yeah.
So Kinzo claims that she is a witch who once gave him a very large amount of gold, specifically 10 tons, which is worth about 500 million pounds.
And they talk a lot about how much that's worth in yen for about 10 minutes of actual time.
Yes.
Is that going to be important later? Because I did not take any notes on that.
Basically, it's just a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, he's installed this huge portrait of her in the main hall. Battler comments that this did not used to be there. This is a new edition.
It was from the April year before last.
Yes, so 2 years ago, ish, 2.5. And there is an epitaph below the painting.
Yes, I took notes on that because I was like, oh, this is going to be important.
Yes, it is very important.
Behold the sweet fish river running through my beloved hometown. You who seek the golden land, follow its path downstream in search of the key. As you travel down it, you will see a village. In that village, look for the shore the two will tell you of. There sleeps the key to the golden land. The one who obtains the key must then travel to the Golden Land in accordance with these rules. On the first twilight, offer the six chosen by the key as sacrifices. On the second twilight, those who remain shall tear apart the two who are close. On the third twilight, those who remain shall praise my noble name. On the fourth twilight, gouge the head and kill. On the fifth twilight, gouge the chest and kill. On the sixth twilight, gouge the stomach and kill. On the seventh twilight, gouge the knee and kill. On the eighth twilight, gouge the leg and kill. On the ninth twilight, the witch shall revive, and none shall be left alive. On the tenth twilight, at journey's end, you shall attain to the power of the Golden Land's treasures, once and for the last time.
The witch shall praise the wise and bestow four treasures. One shall be all the gold from the Golden Land. One shall be the resurrection of all the dead souls. One shall be the resurrection of the love that was lost. One shall be to put the witch to sleep for all time. Sleep peacefully, my beloved witch Beatrice.
Yeah, so like...
not sinister whatsoever.
No, I'm sure no one will die because of this.
No, yeah, it's definitely isn't a bizarre murder ritual. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, So one thing I do have to say in this is that with it's possible to write a really good supernatural mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I am coming to the, like, from what I've played of the game so far, I feel like this isn't going to be a supernatural mystery. Just because in a good supernatural mystery, you need to really establish what powers and constraints you're giving to your, like, supernatural elements so that people can guess what's going on.
Yes.
But that does depend on the game being good. Mm-hmm. Courtney, is this game good?
This game is good. I'm not making you play a bad game.
Because I was like, maybe it's just terrible. I don't know. Like, no one, you didn't tell me it was going to be a good mystery.
The game is good.
Courtney historically does have dubious taste.
We know this. We know
this. My taste in games is flawless. My game of the year, actually my game of the decade for the 2000s was Style Boutique. So those are my gamer credentials.
I think rather than dubious, I would say divisive is maybe the word.
Maybe that's it.
I don't know. I think you've made a very good point there, Jez. And I don't necessarily know that I trust Courtney to be like, yes, this game is good.
So yeah, like...
Well, you're just gonna have to keep playing.
So yeah, like...
Like, I will continue playing because I want to, like, continue being on the podcast, if you'll have me, after that. But, like, I'm not prepared to, like, completely dismiss this hypothesis on the grounds that Courtney's like, no, it's good actually.
Yeah, and I'm also, well, it's also possible as well that, like, there's a supernatural element that, like, is involved but isn't part of, like, any of the main mystery stuff as well, so I'm yeah. trying to work out how much of this I can already discount and put down to people, and at the moment it's none of it, and I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah,
so I will say, the whether magic is real or not is a strong theme.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah. I suspect this will be not solved immediately.
Be a lot of neon lights pulsing around a theme of, is magic real? Is it real?
I don't know where I've gotten this from, but I've written in my notes, is Krauss also dealing with Beatrice, and then OMG, that's why she won't appear to Kenzo.
Ooh.
I have no idea what my evidence for this is, because,
well, later he does show his wife a gold bar
with the family crest on
we had the family crest on it, the one-winged eagle.
So yeah, it is potential.
Also, he's like really confident about the gold situation.
Yes,
when they're talking about it.
To really dive into Krauss's character, we should probably talk about the big inheritance discussion that the adults have, where all the adults who aren't Krauss kind of corner him and go, listen, you built this guest house that's on this island as like a hotel, but it hasn't been opened. Where did you get all the money from to do that? Because we're pretty sure no investors would give you any. So we think you've been embezzling Granddad's money, or you found his hidden gold and using that. So what we'll do is, if you pay us off, we will kind of drop the whole thing and let you handle all the like money stuff when Kenzo like dies, basically. So they try to kind of bully him into, like, giving them money in exchange for them not kind of pressing into it further. And he turns around and goes, actually, I've done a bit of research, and it turns out all of you are in, like, dire financial straits, and you need my like, money way more than I need you to, like, kind of back off on this.
It's always wild, isn't it, with the, where, like, with rich people who are kind of completely broke, but also still managing to live this really fucking fancy life with servants
and stuff.
And I'm just like, if you actually got rid of some of that nonsense, you'd probably be fine. Like, you're not like, rich enough for your lifestyle, like, is the problem.
So I believe There's like a Eva and Hideyoshi have like lost control of their company to like malicious shareholders. Rudolph is being sued by an American company for a copyright disagreement. And Rosa signed onto a bad loan with a man.
Oh, is that what happened? I missed that somehow. Yes. I had this idea in my head that what Rosa's problem was a big secret. And that they massively glossed over it.
It's not gone into very much depth, especially compared to the other two. Mm-hmm. But he says that, like, you should really be careful who you sign loans with.
Right.
And it's, like, I think kind of implied that it's Maria's father, but as you can imagine, is not in the picture, and Rosa is not pleased about it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that the writer appears to be anti-capitalism. Like, generally is just, like, capitalism shit overall.
Yeah. This is, the Anime Communist Manifesto.
Yeah.
No, well, I mean, let's just say he definitely doesn't have a favorable take on the super rich. But I'd agree. There's quite a lot of stuff in here where it's like, oh boy, capitalism
sure is bad. I mean,
if
they'd been portraying this scenario and been like, isn't this great? I'm not sure I would have been able to keep playing the game.
yeah, exactly. Instead, they're like, they wait till the children have all gone because they're like, we don't want our children to see this.
Yeah.
They also don't, it is hard to distinguish what's a critique of capitalism and what's a personal critique of the individual characters, because capitalism sucks. It does get lost in these people suck.
I mean, this is a very character-driven game, so I think probably the foremost intention of the writing is to kind of establish a lot of character points here, specifically the sibling dynamics. I think kind of really get brought across here, where Kraus is like, has kind of always been like this bully towards his like younger siblings, and it really like shows here, I think, where he sort of strings them along into thinking that they've got him, only to turn around the last second and just like humiliate each of them in turn.
Yeah.
Yes. What a great guy.
Lovely. Takes after his father, it seems.
Yeah, God. Although, Kinzo later says that, like, he doesn't want Kraus getting the inheritance because he thinks he's terrible with money, so...
Well, that's the thing, is, like, Kinzo doesn't like any of his, like, children or grandchildren.
He hates his children and grandchildren. It's like, oh boy, Kinzo.
And, like...
He has, like, a long list of... Did I make a note of his, like, list of reasons as to why he hates... I did.
But that's because he... Well, that's why he doesn't want a will, isn't it? Is because he's like, none of them deserve what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
Yeah. Yeah, he's... He just hates all of them. His, like, reason for hating Rosa is, like, because she was, like, abandoned by Maria's father, which is lovely. Love that for him.
Anything else to say about the adults having money conversations?
I think we can go to the kids at the beach, really.
So they're sat with Shannon trying to solve the poem.
Yeah.
Shannon, they keep turning to her because she's got special servant knowledge, which was weird and interesting. I do think like there's potential for an interesting thing where servants occupy a bit of a liminal space, like they can kind of move around a bit more freely maybe, but I don't think that's necessarily something that's developed on
elsewhere. I mean, she probably knows the house and the master better than everyone. She is wearing the one-winged eagle symbol because she's Kinzo's personal servant with Genji and Kanon.
Yeah, I did find that interesting, that the servants are on different levels as well.
Yes.
There's like a servant hierarchy. With like his personal servants and then other servants, basically.
Yeah, Goda and Kumasawa are not allowed to directly serve Kinzo. And Nanjo's like not a servant. He's just like a doctor who came to an island at a really bad time.
I'm not sure if I'm This might not be true, but I feel like the two who aren't related with Kinzo are the ones that don't talk about them being furniture as well.
Yeah.
Kumasawa, I think, definitely doesn't. I'm not sure about...
Kumasawa's definitely like got more personality than, or like certainly a more agency than Canon and Shannon.
Yeah. And she's a queen.
So I've written poem, colon. If they all live happily ever after, I'm going to flip.
Oh,
because I really hate most of the members of this family. In fact, almost everybody in this visual novel is an asshat.
Yeah, almost everyone. I really...
Exception, Nanjo.
Yeah, they better not.
I also... Maria, she's obviously psychic. She's like, I hate fish. I think this means that the sweet fish mentioned in the poem aren't going to be fish at all.
Interesting. Maria, riddle genius. Yeah, they kind of ponder over the river for a bit and it doesn't really go anywhere. And then, like... Maria gets upset because, like, Jessica and Baffa are like, witches don't exist. Yeah.
She's like,
Beatrice will get you unless you take my magic charms, which I got from, like, the arcade.
Also, don't talk shit about my future career.
Maria, girl boss in waiting.
I hope she does become a witch. Like, that would be great.
Yeah. No, good for her.
Only good ending.
Yeah, the only good ending to Umineko is one where Maria ascends to full witchhood.
Yeah, like, what if it's a completely non-supernatural story the whole way through and it's all of this stuff, and then right at the end, Maria becomes a witch? She's just like, oh, magic is real, actually. Just none of that was any of it, so...
Yeah, that was just someone pretending to be magic. I'm really magic, and
I'm
a witch.
I'm going to smite you all now.
So, they walk back from the beach... A typhoon is starting to set in. They did know there was going to be a typhoon, but went to the family meeting anyway, so I'm victim shaming. should have just rearranged SMH.
I do think, like, it's interesting, like the whole kind of typhoon thing, it's like, it's very convenient, isn't it? Like, it traps them all perfectly on this island that they can't get away from. So, for whatever will happen onwards, and I'm like...
My assumption kind of is maybe Kinzo, like, set it up. Or maybe he magicked it. Ooh.
Well, yeah, because, like, magic would certainly be one way of like, oh, I just caused a typhoon to happen over this time because I knew I could do that. I know they do talk a bit about how it's, like, because it's... All the family conference is always in October. It's never good weather. But it does seem wildly convenient that it does happen to be a typhoon rather than just a bit of rain.
So I don't know how planned this was.
Yeah.
But anyway, the typhoon's starting to set in. Maria starts worrying about her rose in the rose garden. But it's not there.
Maria...
This scene is very traumatic.
Yeah, it hit me hard, this one.
Yeah. She's, like, really desperate to find it, but it's just, like, completely gone. They search for it. And then Rosa walks out. And she is not happy about this. And starts yelling at Maria. And, George is like, let's not interfere and leave. And the cousins do just kind of leave Maria with Rosa, who is clearly not in a good mood.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, to be fair to that, like, Battler especially, like, the moment, like, because they witness, I think at least twice, Rosa, like, slap Maria around the head. And, like, Battler is like... We shouldn't be letting this happen. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, Battler, like, tries to step in, and George is like, oh, there's no point. Let's
yeah,
go.
this is the point where I wrote George is a big fucking centrist on my document. He's been really like understanding and sympathetic to everyone like who's going through tough times up until this point. And then the person he chooses to side with in this scenario is the mum. And he's like, yeah. Oh, well, it must be so hard raising a child. I'm like, hang on a minute.
My note said, damn, that's a fucked up thing to say to your kid, which I think is probably like the slogan of this series.
Yeah.
Like, damn. Because Rosa's like picking on Maria for going like, ooh. And she's like, you're 9 years old, you shouldn't say that.
I will say, I think there's like elements of like abuse with like all the kids in this.
Oh,
I just think Maria's is like the most like... most obvious.
It's the most obvious, and it's the one that kind of comes up with to a head in the narrative, like,
yeah,
rather than being something in the past. Because yeah, it's like Kinzo's, like, yeah, they all talk about, like, all of the children talk about how, like, multiple times I feel like talk about how, like, Kinzo was physically violent with all of them.
Yeah, he used to beat them with a wooden sword.
And
it's a cycle of abuse, right? Yep. Because if you experience that sort of thing as a child, then that's oftentimes the sort of thing you end up doing as an adult.
I think one of the scary things about Rosa, though, as well, is that like up until that point, she's been very, very nice to Maria, and you get the kind of like the realization that like that's kind of all an act, basically.
Yeah.
And that,
you can tell that this is, like, a particularly, like, stressful situation for her, and it's just, like, she's just been trying to, like, kind of hide that aspect of their relationship, but she hasn't been able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is kind of how I kind of see it, is, like...
They're, like, not great for a kid to find out in your parents' stressful situation that your parent actually hates a lot of things about you.
You also get the impression that this maybe isn't the first time that this has happened also.
Yeah. Maria seems a bit accustomed to this, which is
fucking
not she doesn't actually react that much to it.
She just continues to cry harder, which
she cries
like,
a lot,
I
and then
assume she
what she
done.
Ends up crying mostly about is the rose still, rather than how her mum's treated her, which does kind of suggest that that is
not good,
kind of more normal for her.
Oh boy.
But yeah, so that's horrifying. But it also, like, that scene and, like, Maria, like, all of them looking for the rose and then Rosa turning up and then all of that goes on for ages. And I feel like the fact that Maria's rose is missing is really significant. And I don't know why.
So, you guys have played around half of the first episode. Yeah. So I'm going to give you a small hint. You do have enough information to work out what happened with the rose.
Okay, interesting. Oh, I'll have
this
to...
This is a solvable mystery.
I'm going to have to go and look at stuff again then.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the implication is that, like, Maria knows exactly where it was, and they tied something on it so that it would be visible. So the fact it isn't there is, like, someone's taken it or something like that, but why would they do
that? I think it's Beatrice. I think it's the Golden Witch Beatrice. She significantly put the rose, like, got rid of the rose so that Maria would be out there so that she could deliver the letter. Mm. I think it's Beatrice. The Golden Witch, who's behind all of this mystery,
Beatrice.
Obviously.
Because, yeah, then...
Beatrice!
That's when she then delivers the letter.
The letter. So, Rosa, like, goes inside, like, has a nap.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a bit tired of abusing my child. It's time to have a nap.
She's left Maria out there, like, in the beginnings of a typhoon with no umbrella, wakes up... immediately realizes that Maria is still out there with no umbrella and, like, runs outside.
And he's like, oh no, I might be a terrible parent.
And Maria
that
is
ship
out there
sailed, honey.
With an umbrella, thank God. But when she asks who gave her the umbrella, Maria's like, it was Beatrice. And, like, Rose is kind of a bit, like, too tired at this point to, like, get angry about it, so she just sort of drops it, but, like...
And then...
Later at dinner...
Yeah.
which Grandad refuses to come down to. Thanks. He's too busy being a goth.
I really appreciate any scene that Kinzo isn't in, to be honest.
They're all like, oh, when the devil's not around, everyone can relax about Kinzo, which is interesting phrasing.
Yeah, great vibes to have around your dad / granddad. Yeah. And again at the dinner table, Rosa asks, okay, who gave my daughter an umbrella? No one says that they did.
And they all kind of mostly have alibis as well. Which yes. I thought was interesting to kind of, as a setup, that they went round to specifically kind of...
Yeah, they all kind of say, oh, it couldn't have been me.
I was with this person.
The adults were all in the... were all arguing about the inheritance. The cousins were in the guest house. Canon said that he didn't see Maria because he thought she was at the guest house. All the servants are in the servant rooms, and Kinzo hates Maria.
Yeah.
It's the reason that Genji gives for Kinzo.
Yeah, he's, I wouldn't have helped a small child in a typhoon. He's a monster. Like, and also my best friend.
I mean, you're not surprised.
I think...
You're not even disappointed. You're just...
So what this means is that Beatrice is really several servants in a trench coat.
Yeah, probably.
Is that your theory?
Yes.
Well, whoever it is, Maria's insistent that it's Beatrice. So,
yeah, I do think it is interesting that is the time when they start talking about, are there 18 of us on this island, or is there an extra person? Yeah. Is Beatrice actually real, or like, is there someone claiming to be her? And I was like, oh god, this is gonna go unanswered for such a long time, isn't it?
They call this the devil's proof. It's like verificationism. It's like, it's easy to prove that something exists, but it's impossible to prove that there's no 19th person.
Yeah. Yes.
Which, like, Cordy, you've mentioned to me, is something that they will like do to death, is like the idea of the devil's proof.
Devil's proof is very important in this game.
Yeah, no.
I didn't know if you'd catch that. Nice. It's brought up fairly like quickly here and sort of throwaway. And so when I read that, I was like, oh my god, devil's proof this early? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like verificationism and falsificationism, which is like, can you prove that there is no black swan, or can you prove that there is like every single swan is white? I can't remember the exact phrasing.
The big one, for the reason it's called the devil's proof, is can you prove devils aren't real?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could just say, well, they're using devil magic to like conceal themselves.
Yeah.
There's no way of like objectively proving
that goes back to the thing about them being like, in these scenarios, it's kind of the supernatural stuff can kind of have any powers that you could think of, really.
Yeah, there's no way
to prove they don't have those. So how they deal with that is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, as when they finish dinner, Maria pulls out a letter, which is quite long, so I'm not going to read it, but the gist of it is... it has been marked in a wax seal that belongs to the head of the family. So that's what kind of freaks all the adults out, is they're like, oh my god, did Kinzo send this? And the letter is supposedly from the Golden Witch Beatrice, who says that they have to solve the riddle of the epitaph, or she's going to come and claim not only the gold she lent, but interest, which is everything belonging to the Ashiramiya family.
When I'm gone, everything will go with me, etc., etc.
Yeah, exactly. But she says if they solve the epitaph riddle, she'll return everything.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting as well, because they talk a lot about, like, can this be... Is this really from Beatrice, is it from Kinzo because of the seal and stuff? We get a scene where we see Kinzo throw his ring out of the window.
Yes.
And I find that interesting just because it kind of, it then opens it up so that we know that it could basically be anybody who used that. But yeah, I find it interesting as well in this game that we mostly get stuff from Battler's perspective, but like there are occasional scenes that we see with other people in. And I'm just like, can we trust everything that we see in those scenes? Like, how much of that is going to be relevant? What scenes aren't we seeing?
Also blurs the line between it's neutral narrator and where it's Battler. Yeah. When we are in Battler's perspective, it's like, what are we seeing?
Especially, like, there's a couple of bits as well, which is from Natsui's perspective, specifically. And yeah. I think there's a tiny bit at the end of the day from Shannon's as well. Why those two? And why none of the others is a really interesting kind of thing to consider. I'm like, does that mean they have special properties?
I'm gonna keep quiet.
Yeah, I think you should probably
for now. But just think about stuff.
I'm used to some anime, you know, games doing interesting things with narration and stuff.
Zero Escape.
Sorry, I'm trying to remember stuff about that and think about what
it's
this
pleasing adds. To hear that there's like it's doing interesting things with the genre and with the format. Mm. Obviously, to pick a visual novel is a very particular format, and it's good to hear that there's like the ways that it's playing with it. Even though I, as somebody who's never played a visual novel before, have completely missed this like interesting perspective stuff.
Yeah, I would say like Zero Escape. It has its issues, but like some of the kind of reveals in that are really interesting, and the way it deals with like just narrative and in general and your expectations. Why I like those games so much.
They're so good. But yeah, it does like to pull a few twists and makes very good use of the two screens of the DS. Yeah. We love that. Where's my Umineko DS port? it is possible that anyone could have created the letter. And the adults are all very upset about this because they're like, is someone going to show up and take away our inheritance? And they like kind of all march upstairs to Kinzo's study. And he's just like not responding. He's like, not interested. Tell him to go away. I'm busy having dinner.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Nice. All the adults are kind of in a bit of a frenzy about everything. But Kyrie kind of goes off to talk with Battler for a bit. And they talk about chessboard thinking. Yeah. Which is the idea of basically, like, when you're playing chess, you should turn the chessboard around and think from your opponent's perspective.
For my translation, the whole turn the chessboard around thing, if they'd said turn the chessboard around, that makes more sense. Mine said flip the chessboard. And I'm like, that's different. That's not seeing something from someone else's perspective. That's like ending the game.
All the chessboards that I know are like dual purpose, so there's also backgammon on the other
He's
side.
Like, fuck it, let's play backgammon now.
Curious, like, if your opponent is playing chess, start playing checkers. Yeah.
bringing out little space marines and placing them on the chessboard. Fuck you!
Yeah, so that analogy got lost on me for a little bit until I worked out what they meant.
I don't know what happened there, but yeah, okay. Well, that's basically the idea is Kyrie is basically trying to deduce why someone would give this letter to Maria and not reveal who they are. Like, what the goal of that would be.
It's just interesting, is it? Because as people who know we're playing a mystery, that's, like, constantly what we're trying to do is see things from different people's perspectives and work out, like, who has a reason to do that. And so I suspect that'll come up several times. Probably far too many, actually.
I hope you like flipping chessboards. And then Rudolph comes in and says that he wants them to have a family chat at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And that he'll probably be killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to know why he thinks that.
Which, given what happens the next day, very interesting.
I don't know what you mean.
Also, then we get Kraus showing Natsuhi the...
Natsuhi.
That's the one. She's written as Natsuhi here, like tushy like butt.
Oh, no.
And I haven't spelt her name differently, so I was like, I'm just going to say this and hope that it comes.
My Natsuhi?
My Natsuhi? OMG. Who won't they Natsuhiate? he shows her the gold ingot, and that feels like a very, like, I'm about to die anyway, I'm going to show you my greatest secret type deal. That does
think about it like that. That's interesting.
It's an interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
I find it's an interesting one because she's obviously really upset that he hasn't told her about it before because he didn't trust her or like didn't think it mattered.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so why did he think it mattered then? Like, what changed that made him decide to show her? Because nothing.
That's really interesting. I guess
really from his perspective.
I guess I struggle so hard to kind of empathize with Kraus. I didn't even really think about it from his perspective. Like,
you didn't flip the chessboard around.
I didn't flip the chessboard. I immediately got why he didn't show it to her.
Yeah.
Because, like, he sucks.
Yeah. And, whatever justification.
Like, didn't really think about her feelings at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, why now?
Why now, yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting because we kind of get, this is sort of confirmation that the gold might, like, there's more credibility to this gold rumor than, like, we might have initially thought.
And also, like, so that kind of, there's a bit of proof surrounding the maybe supernatural stuff, maybe there is a witch kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, something that is probably me just reading too far into things, but, you know, every time they do a kind of, there's a little, like, there's like chapters, I guess, in episode one. They do a little chapter end where they put the little Umineko thing on. And do a little effect of some kind. One of the effects is just kind of like a shot of a kind of electric candelabra thing. It's the one in the room. It's the one in the room with the gold bar in it.
Yes.
I do think it's the same style of candelabra as is in Kenzo's office.
Yeah, so I thought that because I was like, at first I was like, okay, they're like... it's the same there. And then I saw it again later and I was like, are they just reusing assets? Because it's a visual novel. And so I was like...
It could be that a lot of the rooms in the house are in a similar style, but there might be more to that. I think it's implied that it's like on the same floor as the study, the gold room. I do like how Kraus just had a locked room with one gold bar.
Yeah, and that nobody questioned that why there was one locked room that he only had the key for, because...
he probably could have just said Kinzo wanted me to leave this room locked, and I don't think anyone would question him.
But yeah, so now I'm like, are they having problems? Do they need more assets in the game? Do they need more artists? Or and also, like, there just is a general kind of thing where, like, when characters are talking, the perspective will shift to look at the lights on the ceiling.
It does that.
And I'm
a lot.
Like, is that just a kind of style choice to be like, oh, we like, let's add some visual interest. Let's look at something that isn't the characters for a while. Or does that mean something?
I'll be real. I've never thought of the visual symbolism of the lights, but it could mean something.
Because the other one, the one that I noticed before the lights was there's a, like, one of them is like a glass shattering. With like a bullet's gone through it or something, and I'm like, oh, I bet that's going to be like foreshadowing or something to how someone dies or whatever. So I was like, what are the others?
Play and find out. So
for the audio listeners, Courtney is making very creepy hand gestures and blinking lots, like she's some kind of evil, like enchantress.
Like she's Beatrice.
Oh my god, she's Beatrice.
We'll find out this game is actually so meta that Courtney is a character in the game.
I am actually in the game. Yeah, I'm gonna show up, and then you guys are gonna be like, "Damn, put Courtney in it."
Halfway through the game, it turns into some kind of real-life LARPing thing.
And, like, for the fifth chapter, we'll be in a Discord call.
For the fifth chapter, Courtney will be killing you. What have we signed up for?
Me being like, for the audio listeners, Courtney has just appeared in the room behind me.
She just killed me.
Yes, is that your true crime podcast where I commit a true crime?
Betrayal.
Courtney was an imposter all along.
Yes.
As the cousins are walking back to, like, the cousin room, yes. And George is carrying Maria, who is asleep, on his back, and Shannon is holding an umbrella nearby, and we get the vibe that they might be very good friends. Mm.
Yeah. And they are. Yeah.
And they are. He proposes to her when all the other cousins have gone into the room.
And
they go off to like a little pavilion somewhere else.
Yeah.
And he proposes.
He proposes.
And I will say that I don't know, George. I think it's a little bit fucked up to propose to someone who's been working for your family since they were six and is also still a child and a servant who's under the employ of your family and who you had to kind of order, who kept asking you to order her to do things.
So well, not you, to kink shame Shannon.
7 years between the two of them?
Mm. Yeah. Not to kink shame Shannon, but what the fuck, girl? That is some 50 Shades of Grey shit.
I was like, someone needs to help her get out of there.
Yeah, I kind of have an interpretation where he's kind of a way out for her, rather than someone she's genuinely romantically interested in.
I also like it's a potential that she is romantically interested in him, and that like, you know, like back at the age of 16, like. Having like being interested in someone who was like in their 20s seemed cool and like ooh mysterious.
That's true.
And now it's gross.
Yeah, I do think so... I do think 16-year-old me, if I'd been a maid working for a fucking family for the past decade, and
who were all
assholes,
and then one of them was nice to you as well.
Yeah, and he's like quite handsome and sweet and very understanding and addresses me by my real name, not my servant name. And then, like, I would be completely head over heels for this guy. So I think maybe it's just a Shannon's been like groomed into like.
Yeah, I don't think Shannon's in the wrong in this scenario. I think George should know
I think
better.
George should examine the power play, the kind of power levels that they're dealing with here, and maybe realise that they're not on equal footing in any way.
No, perhaps not. But anyway, he orders her to take the ring, but says she can put it on whatever finger, and the finger she puts on will be her answer.
Yeah.
Which,
like, and still fucked up so many levels.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I looked at the content warning list and saw this, though, I was expecting them to be having sex on screen or something. So I was quite relieved.
This is the scene where we get the, like, full body Shannon art of her, like, looking up pleadingly at George and, like, squeezing her tits together, which is a bit grim. Mm.
So that kind of wraps up the first day. So it does, however, at the end of the chapter show where everyone is.
Hold on. We do significantly Natsuhi. That's the one. Her and
we do get the scene with Jessica.
The tomboy. They're like together in the corridors, and Jessica gives her Natsuhi. Mother. the like charm that Maria gave her, and is like, this will look after you. And there's like a tender moment between the two of them, which is significant. At the end of the first day, I sat and wrote down the six people I thought were going to die.
Ooh.
Okay. Who did you write?
So I wrote Rudolf, Rosa, Natsuhi, Kraus, Goda, and Nanjo.
Interesting.
Then, when George proposes to Shannon and she runs into the house, I wrote a little note and said, I think Shannon's going to get got mistakenly as well.
Oh.
I was like, I think there's Shannon will die also because she's in the wrong place.
Whoops.
And then I wrote that again at the beginning of the second day. I underlined that because I was like, because like Natsuhi is like the first person that we see. Anyway, that's interesting. Also, like, go me.
Yeah,
good job. That's like what, like 4 out of 6?
Yeah, I didn't think about doing anything like that. I was actually quite surprised when they did kill 6 people at once. I wasn't sure it was going to go that way.
Interesting. Yeah, I just assumed that we would be following the poem to the letter and was like, okay, which 6 people?
One thing that I noticed is that no one immediately seemed to make that connection.
Yeah.
No. Everyone was just like, isn't it weird that
six people have died? And everyone's like, no, it's not as if we just read something where 6 people were killed as part of a ritual. And I'm like, hello?
So, Courtney, do you want to tell us where everybody was at the end of the first
night? Yes. So, this is for all the sleuths out there. The game does show everyone's positions at the end of the day. So, Ava, Hideyoshi, Kraus, Rudolf, Kirie, and Rosa are in the dining room. Goda's in the servants' room in the mansion. Genji and Kanon are in the guest house servants' room. Kumasawa's shown in the guest house, like, stairwell, like, corridor. Nanjo is asleep. Kinzo is in his study. Shannon is outside the study. Battler, George, and Jessica are in the guest house bedroom. Maria isn't shown, but she's probably also in the bedroom. And Natsuhi isn't shown at all. Maybe she went to her room.
That's kind of what's implied, like, after she has the encounter with Kraus. She's like, I have a headache, which is very on-brand.
Yeah.
I assume she goes to sleep.
Yeah, with the charm that she got from Jessica.
Yeah.
Yes, on the door.
So we then cut to the second day, mm-hmm. and Natsuhi wakes up, and I think Genji tells her that Goda hasn't, like, emerged, mm-hmm. and they can't find him anywhere.
And also the telephone lines are down.
The telephone lines are down because of the typhoon. She goes outside and sees, like, hand and, like, scratch marks in red around her door.
Yeah.
Like, the doorknob, as though someone was trying to get in. And she's like, this is a really bad prank.
So I assumed that this was Shannon. Also, we do see Shannon see some golden butterflies flying around the house.
Yes. Yeah, when she's night. In the mansion. Yeah.
So I was like, she's been got by Beatrice.
Shannon. So you're like, is that the hand marks like Shannon, like, you know, being like, please help, I am being murdered.
Right, yeah. And because she's protected by the charm. It's like, no one's getting this. That was my thinking. And I was like, yeah, sorry. R.I.P. Shannon. Yeah. Your titties were huge.
They were, and you didn't even know.
You didn't even know, you were just furniture.
Natsuhi goes to check in on Kinzo. He lets her in. They have a very nice little conversation about how he wishes that she was born a man, and that she wears the one-winged angel on her heart.
Even though she's not allowed to wear it on her clothing because
she is a lowly spouse.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're not changing those rules, but like, you're really good at that spouse thing. Yay. Yeah.
We love the way you have a womb.
Yes.
Cute.
Apart from that bit where you did take a long time with the womb, though. They didn't like that.
Yeah, whoops.
Significantly, this has a strong effect on her, and she's able to, sort of stick her chin up at Eva, who's, trying to be mean to her, and she's like, no, I'm proud because Kinzo said I was a good girl.
Yeah. Ooh.
And Eva does not like that.
Neither did I.
So...
Whoops, sorry.
So everyone's searching for Goda, and, they find that the one of the garage doors has, this, red symbol on it.
Yes.
And everyone's naturally a bit freaked out. So they go get the key to open it. And when they do open it, they see some corpses.
Yes. Six, to be precise.
Six. Well, I believe, they initially see the five, and then, they, discover Shannon's later.
Yeah. It's kind of off to the side, as if maybe an afterthought, or not something that didn't go quite to plan. But yeah, so the list is,
The list... Well, we got most of it. Rudolph, Kyrie, Kraus, Goda, Rosa, and Shannon. Yeah. All of them seem to have their faces, caved in.
Yeah.
Most of it's fully, caved, but,
some it's half, isn't it?
Kraus and Shannon, I believe, have half.
It's
so
interesting.
Everyone is fairly traumatized by this.
And almost everyone sees the bodies as well, which is...
Yes.
Not the best for them, really.
Maria is in the house watching cartoons, so I think she's the only person that's not present. And Kinzo obviously is still in his study, but I think she's the only one that's not present for this scene. George makes a big fuss of not seeing Shannon's face, but asking what finger she's put the ring on, and it turns out she's put it on her wedding ring.
Yeah, and it's
all the adults kind of hold back
the various children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for Battler.
Because both of his adults died.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and he makes a big deal of this. Mm. The game does a lot of, it shows, a screen that's got a red, blood stain on, and then it will say something more dramatic, and the colours will swap so that the blood stain bit is black and the background's red.
Yeah, do some contrast, colour inversion. So, yeah.
Yeah, it does that a lot, which is interesting.
Yeah, saves on drawing those CGs with no faces,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the game has begun, and we'll kind of stop our recap there, but I do want to get some thoughts from my victims.
Your victims? Your Beata Ichi?
It's all coming out now.
So... Yeah, any sort of closing thoughts, any theories, any themes, just anything really you want to include here? I do have some notes from our wonderful Google Drive that I will get up now.
Yeah, well, I do think it's interesting that all of the people who were killed were in the mansion.
Yes.
And
that was
actually,
part of my reasoning when I made the list.
And it was basically, I think it was everybody who was in the mansion died, apart from Kinzo and Natsui, I believe.
Yes.
And so, yeah, the kind of...
Yeah.
So I was thinking, okay, why? And obviously Natsui has a very good reasoning if her charm on the door actually worked, then the kind of scratches around I originally thought was Beatrice, she can't get in. And she's trying to kill Natsui, but then Shannon comes along instead, so she kills her. But if Beatrice...
Bad timing.
But if Beatrice isn't actually a witch and the charm doesn't actually do anything, then I guess the like one of the ways that that could be explained was that maybe Shannon, the killer or whatever, was going to go for Natsuhi, had their hand on the door, and then Shannon came up behind them. And so they decided to kill her instead because she was a witness. And that's why she was kind of dumped at the end, because it was a little bit unexpected. But I'm not sure whether that fully makes sense. So we will see.
I guess because everyone else is so like meticulously arranged.
Yeah, it seems weird that she's slightly off in a corner. Like something went a bit wrong there. Because she was never supposed to be there in the first place. She was supposed to be in the guest house.
Oh yeah, that's true. She was scheduled to be in the guest house, so I guess they were counting on the only servant there being Goda, and he was just going to be like doing his crossword.
Also Goda
Yeah,
he does. Yeah, so yeah, he got. He's the reason why everyone was out looking, because they were like, shouldn't he be making breakfast around?
Which
now?
Like rich people suck.
But yeah, they were all in very, apart from Shannon, they were all in fairly predictable places in the mansion as well. Like, Goda was in the servant room. The other adults were all arguing still.
I believe Eva and Hideyoshi say that... Oh yeah, they were also in the mansion,
They were,
actually.
But then just after midnight, they went back to the guest house. So that...
Yeah. Oh, did they go to the guest house? Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, they slept in the guest house, which is why they didn't get got, I think.
That's why they didn't get got.
So, a thought that I have been having, something that's been percolating, is the fact that Beatrice is like, I'm going to claim back everything that belongs to the family as interest. And obviously this family has a very particular way of marking out who does and does not belong to the family.
Yeah.
And every single person who died is somebody who can wear a one-winged eagle, including Shannon, who...
Oh, apart from Goda.
Is he not allowed to wear a one-winged eagle?
He's not allowed to wear a one-winged eagle. Neither is Hideyoshi or Kirie.
Okay, well, I'll shut up then. That was stupid.
No, it's fine.
I was just like, ooh, they belong to the family, but apparently they don't. So, sucks to suck, I guess.
They do associate with the Ushiromiyas, though, so bad place, bad time.
Yeah, I do wonder if this does mean that Nanjo's safe. I hope he is, but I do think that Nanjo will probably die at some point. He's probably going to be, like, one of the mid-nights, one of the twilights that's, like, pierced the stomach or something, where it's just like, oh, we have to kill someone.
I'm excited with some of those, how they're going to orchestrate a death in which someone's knee kills them. I'm really looking forward to all of the horrible, grisly ways in which they're going to try and do these kind of things. So I was like,
oh boy.
It's going to be a death becomes her type scenario where the knee goes and then they're just falling downstairs for 2 hours. And that's what kills them.
That's why they haven't managed to do a live action version of this game, because Meryl Streep's too busy to fall down several flights of stairs.
Bless. I can just cut the same video together. She only has to do it once.
Yes.
That's all we got in terms of the mystery. Any predictions before we sign off?
I'm really interested in the fact that, like, because obviously if this ritual is going to continue going, then the next thing that will happen at the end of day two is the two who remain shall tear apart the two who are close. And that basically tells us nothing.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, that's going to be Shannon and George, but
is it close emotionally? Is it close physically? Is it close metaphysically? Whatever that means. there's witches and shit, like, in this, potentially. Like, it could be something like psychic.
It's Genji and Kenzo. It's hot buddy Genji and Kenzo.
I mean, I mean, not impossible.
And
not
it's impossible. Also, who? What does it mean by the two who remain as well?
I think it's all those who remain, so like everyone who's left.
My translation has the two who remain.
Mm. Oh, does it?
Mine does too. I also, they talk a lot about the two in terms of like the initial part of the poem, so I don't know if that's got any relation.
Is it hinting that there's two, like, there have to be two people who do this ritual? Like, there has to be two killers, or...
And then there were two.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if you could pair off everybody left over into, like, pairings of two, reasonably.
Probably. Some of them would be stretches, I imagine. Depending on what.
I mean...
Who's Nanjo's pair?
Potentially Kinzo. But then you could... Test
buddies.
But then you could pair Genji and Kinzo as well, so...
It's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. Maybe you can't, then.
If you, we can do, like, Natsuhi and Jessica and, like, Ava and Rudolph, I guess. And, like, maybe, like, Battler and George.
Yeah.
And Rosa and Maria, but
hang out with Maria.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I think it's also really interesting that, like, I don't know how much stock we're supposed to put in Kinzo's point of view of what's going on with all of this, because he clearly thinks Beatrice is real and that...
And she's like,
because he's decided that their like deal is over or whatever, that he thinks these sacrifices will start happening, and he thinks it will be chosen kind of at random or like by fate.
Yeah, he calls it
the devil's roulette. So he thinks, for some reason, he thinks that like the way that magic works in this universe is if there's a big enough risk that it's more likely to happen. So that putting his own life on the line as potentially one of the, like, victims will make something more likely to happen. I'm not entirely sure what he actually wants out of all of this. What the miracle is.
Maybe Beatrice smile again.
I think what he's hoping is that she'll, like, pop in to say hi.
Before he dies.
She's done all the, like, killing. Yeah.
if she hasn't killed him first. But yeah, it's interesting that like we keep being shown his perspective on like that he thinks it's like it's fate, it's kind of slightly random maybe, but then it seems quite there are some commonalities between the victims and like where they were and what they were doing and stuff, which suggests maybe it's not exactly fate. Maybe.
Yeah. It's not as random, like, because if it had been like, what, like a few people from the guest house and a few people from the main house, then it would have definitely been a bit more like random. But here we have like something that they were all doing. So... And also the stuff with the garage key.
Yeah.
Which, as we learn, is a very specific key.
In the servants' quarters.
I believe the master key doesn't unlock it, so you'd have to go get the key. And then it was locked up when they went to it, so you'd have to get the key and then return it in the exact place where they knew it would be.
Yeah. And why?
Why would you go to, or you could have just left it unlocked.
Could have left it unlocked, you could have left the key in the door. All sorts of things, like you'd be fairly certain by that point, probably, that there wasn't anyone left in the mansion to catch you out, because you've killed most of them. But, it just seems...
Oh boy, yeah.
It seems like an unnecessary thing to do.
I was reading that and I was like, oh, it does not seem good for those servants.
Unless you specifically wanted to put blame on the servants.
Frame the servants, it's true.
But then how would you get that knowledge about which... There's someone in the family who every night steals all of the keys in the servants' quarters and tries them all on the garage. As I found it.
Someone just had a whole night of trial and error, like.
I've got it. My plan.
I mean, I guess if you had Shannon, you could have like told her, got her to tell you about like the details with the keys, maybe. But
like the servants would know, and you could have got them to tell you. But then it's like, yeah, you'd have to kill the ones that told you. And and of course, I only just thought of this actually, but they chain the servants' rota of who was going to be where and who was going to be doing what shift changed right before nighttime as well.
Yes.
Who Krauss changed it?
Yes, he changed it so that the servants who worked directly under Kinzo would not be in the mansion. Mm. So,
and in doing so, saved their lives, maybe.
Maybe. But it didn't save his life, so... But that depends on how like purposeful you think these murders were, or whether it was literally just...
Well, yeah, exactly.
Just kill the people in the mansion, lol.
I do think it's interesting as well that, like, nobody's actually asked, like, we know that the telephone lines are down because Cannon tries to use the phone to find Goda. Mm. But Genji is the one who tells Natsui that the phones are down, and no one thinks to check. Like, everyone just trusts him. And I'm like, several people have been murdered. Maybe you should check that the phone lines are actually down.
They're too rich to ring phones. Hello, that's...
They're too rich to do things. And I suspect that will be the downfall. They still rely on their servants, who, even though they might be murderers.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess at this point... before... Actually, this is the last question I have before we go. Do you think it's... someone at the mansion, or do you think it's a secret person we don't know about?
I think that it's a combination. I don't think this is something that somebody could do alone. If hypothetically speaking, my money's still on Beatrice being real and a real witch and really gonna fucking do all this stuff. But hypothetically speaking, if she wasn't, I think it would be a combination of some extra secret person or people and then collaborators in the mansion.
I don't really want it to be a secret other person. Mm-hmm. Depending on when that's revealed, because I find that as a bit of a cheap trick sometimes.
Agreed.
In kind of mystery things. It depends how it's done, I guess, because I have played things that have done it fairly well. Yeah, but I have a, like, I think that the killings are done by one of the 18, but I don't think that necessarily means that Beatrice doesn't exist. So, like, she might exist separately and she's doing other stuff. Mm. but I think that the killings are people.
Also, hypothesis here, Beatrice might exist and be a real woman, but not a real witch. It's quite possible that Kinzo, with a combination of old age and devil's absinthe, whatever's in that, has... distorted a lot of memory of, like, somebody who's just, you know, a particularly wild Aquarius.
who just likes to do a cheeky bit of killing and, like, gold giving.
Yeah.
Either that, or he's just really gullible. And there was this woman who was like, hey, I'm a witch. And he's like, amazing! I love you! And she's like, wow, you didn't fact check that at all.
And she's like, you know what? I'm so pleased with this man who just takes for granted that I'm a witch. I'm going to give him a lot of gold.
Golden witch pussy got you down bad. Got you acting unwise.
Unwise, indeed.
Yeah, you can say that again. Right, well, I think with that, we shall wrap up this little tea party.
That was a good outro.
Have a good night, everyone.